Some time ago, many of you saw this ad in the New York Times and in many newspapers around the country. It's a full-page ad in large letters, "The Christ is now here." The world has had enough of hunger, injustice, and war. In answer to our call for help, as world teacher for all humanity, the Christ is now here. You say, well, I missed him. That was April 25th, 1982, the ad appeared. I didn't see Christ. Next paragraph, how will we recognize him? Look for a modern man concerned with modern problems, political, economic, and social. Since July 1977, the Christ has been emerging as a spokesman for a group or community in a well-known modern country. He is not a religious leader, but an educator in the broadest sense of the word, pointing the way out of our present crisis. We will recognize him by his extraordinary spiritual potency, the universality of his viewpoint, and his love for all humanity. He comes not to judge, but to aid and to inspire. Next paragraph says, who is the Christ? At the center of this spiritual hierarchy stands the world teacher, Lord Maitreya, known by Christians as the Christ. And as Christians await the second coming, so Jews await the Messiah, the Buddhists, the fifth Buddha, the Muslims, Imam Mahdi, and the Hindus await Krishna. These are all names for one individual. He's all wrapped up in one person, and he's here. When will we see him? It says, he has not yet declared his true status, and his location is known to only a few disciples. Many believe it's in England. One of these has announced that soon the Christ will acknowledge his identity, and within the next 2 months will speak to humanity through a worldwide television and radio broadcast. Say, well, that was 1982, April 25th, and the next 2 months I didn't see it. Well, listen carefully. His message will be heard inwardly, telepathically, by all people in their own language. From that time, with his help, we will build a new world. Now, you probably missed him because you weren't tuned in. And you weren't tuned in because you apparently aren't part of the New Age movement. What is the New Age movement? The New Age movement is a worldwide coalition of networking groups working for three things: a new world government, a new world religion, and a New Age Christ. I'd like to speak on the Christ of the New Age. Who is he? How will we recognize him? And how does he differ from the Christ of the Bible? Let me begin with the last of that. Before we can understand who the New Age Christ is, we need to know who the Christ of the Bible is. I am convinced that Christians do not know who Jesus Christ is. Some time ago, a survey was being taken outside of a French factory. They're asking one simple question to the workers as they left the factory: who is Jesus Christ? One of them replied, I don't know, but I think he works on the second shift. Who is the Christ of the Bible? He's the one predicted in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when Adam and Eve sinned, and the Lord said, the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. He's the seed of the woman. He's the one who was pointed out in Genesis chapter 4, when Eve thought that she had a seed from the Lord that would come through the line of Seth. He's the one who was to come through the blessed Noah in Genesis chapter 9, when God said, Shem will be blessed, and he will come a Shemite or a Semite. He was the one in Genesis chapter 12 that would be the seed of Abraham through whom all the families of the earth would be blessed. And that was passed on to Isaac and to Jacob, and then he pronounced a blessing on his 12 sons, in which in Genesis 49 he said, "The scepter will not depart from Judah." Jesus is the one who would be born from Eve, through Seth, through Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the tribe of Judah. He was the one in 2 Samuel 7 that would be the son of David who would come and reign on a throne in Israel. He was the one that will be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2, born of the Virgin Mary, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Jesus was the one who indeed was conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary and was born over 2,000 years ago, who lived a literal human being, the God-man manifest in flesh, of whom John said, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father." He's the one who said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one." He's the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Who is Jesus Christ? He is God of gods and man, God of God and man of man. He is the Son of God. Who is the New Age Christ? For the last month or so, I have absorbed myself day and night in the writings of the New Age movement. I must confess I had the same experience as when I did the same thing for the writings of Moon, Sun Myung Moon, and the Unification Group. I felt depressed. I felt the need for extra prayer and for claiming the victory of Christ over Satan and all the host of evil, because it's depressing material. You'll see what I mean. I read Benjamin Krem, who was the John the Baptist of the New Age movement. I read Bailey and Blavatsky, who are the prophets of the New Age movement. I read Mark Satin, the politician of the New Age movement, and all of these various books, Ferguson, The Aquarian Conspiracy. From them, I've culled out a unanimity of statements about who this Christ is. Let me read some to you. Benjamin Krem, The Reappearance of the Christ. "God always works through agents. The Christ is an agent. The Christ is not God." Also from Benjamin Krem, these words: "I think he would rather you didn't pray to him," Jesus that is, "but to God within you, which is also within him. He is simply a better or clearer manifestation of it than you and me. But if you pray to that God in you and know that God in you, it is the same God which is in him." Jesus doesn't want you to pray to him. He wants you to pray to the God within you, who's the same God within him. There's no substantial difference between you and Jesus. Again, Benjamin Krem. In the esoteric tradition, that's their word for the occult. In the occult tradition, "The Christ is not the name of an individual, but of an office." You didn't know that. Christ is an office name. Many individuals have held that office. "The office is the office in the hierarchy," capital H. The hierarchy is a whole group, a kind of board of directors of the universe, of occult masters, of which Christ is one of the occult masters. "The present holder of that office is Lord Maitreya. He has held it for 2,600 years and manifested in Palestine through his disciple, Jesus, by the occult method of overshadowing. The human Jesus, who lived in Palestine, was overshadowed, became a magician, an occult magician, and this Christ spirit overshadowed him and speaks through him. He has never left the world, but for 2,000 years has waited and planned for his immediate future time, training his disciples and preparing himself for that awesome task that awaits him." Jesus never left the world. Where's he been? In the Himalaya Mountains for the last 2,000 years, waiting not to return to the world, but to reappear He disappeared and he will reappear. When will he reappear? Well, it was announced in the New York Times. I just read the ad to you. Benjamin Krem again. Jesus is not divine, having perfected himself and manifested, I'm sorry, Jesus is not God, but Jesus is divine, having perfected himself and manifested the divine potential in each of us. He's divine, but the same way you are divine. There's a spark of divinity in all of us. In fact, at the depth of our soul, we are God, and all we have to do is realize our divinity. Ye shall be as gods. He is a man, too, and comes as a brother, teacher, and friend to inspire humanity to create for itself a better and happier world. Jesus is just one of us, and he's coming to inspire us to build the world. He's not going to build it. We're going to have to do it if it's going to be done. Now, one of the books that I had to read in this research, I felt somewhat like a doctor studying a contagious disease. You need to study it in order to know how to treat it, but you don't want to get close enough to it to catch it. And that's the way Christians ought to treat this material. I had to read a book by Benjamin Krem, which were messages from this Lord Maitreya, this New Age Christ. And here's what the Christ said. Message number 19, February 28, 1978. I am your friend and brother, not a god. Benjamin Krem said, but Christ is not God. He's not coming as God. He is an embodiment or an aspect of God, like drops in an ocean. We are all part of God. Christ is the love aspect of God. He is the embodied soul of all creation. He embodies the energy, which is the conscious aspect of the being we call God. You have energy. Christ has energy. He is embodying God's energy. We all do. Tap into that energy. One way to do it, don't eat meat. Wrong kind of energy in meat. Wrong kind of vibrations. Eat just vegetables. Another way to do it, take a TM class or a yoga class. Get in touch with the energy. Get in touch with the force. Go to little Yoda and this frog-like man in the pond, and he will teach you how to levitate things, or meditate, or levitate. Get in touch with the force. Christ is the most advanced human being who ever lived. Not God, but Shirley MacLaine, Oscar-winning movie star, who's also a major proponent of the New Age movement, recently wrote a book entitled Out on a Limb. And in her book, here's what she says. Okay, he said, straightening his posture as though he had finally found a thread to unravel. Christ was the most advanced human ever to walk on this planet. He was a highly evolved spiritual soul whose purpose on earth was to impart the teaching of a higher order. Now, wonderful. Jesus just evolved a little farther than we did. And so he's ahead of us a little bit, same basic kind, but we can learn from him because he's advanced a little farther than we have. Benjamin Krem again. Jesus now lives in a Syrian body, which is some 600 years old. Now, he's been around for 2,000 years, but some of those bodies have died, and he's had to be reincarnate in other bodies. And the present physical body that Christ is living in is 600 years old. Quite a good diet he's been on, undoubtedly, on all those vegetables. He has, in the last 2,000 years, worked in the closest relationship to the Christ, saving his time and energy where possible. No doubt he had to rest a lot to keep it going that long. He is one of the masters who will very shortly return to the outer work in the world, taking over the throne of Saint Peter in Rome. In other words, this New Age Christ will take over the Pope's job. He will be the world religious figure. What's he going to do? Insofar as they are flexible enough to respond correctly to the new reality which the return of the Christ and the Masters will create, he will seek to transform Christian churches. Now notice the wording very carefully. Insofar as we are flexible enough to go along with them, he'll transform our churches too. The New Age Christ. I love reading material from the horse's mouth. It's always better than secondhand stuff. I very seldom ever read secondhand material on these cults because what they say themselves is more potent than what anyone could say about them. Now, one of the books that you have to read if you get into this movement is Levi's book, The Aquarian Gospel. And in this book, The Aquarian Gospel, a man by the name of Levi rewrote the gospel. And he made the Jesus of the gospel teach all of the things of the New Age movement. It reads just like a gospel. You know, he's born and everything happens just like the Jesus, except you won't recognize a few things. Jesus said, "You men of Rome, I am the resurrection and the life. They that are dead shall live, and many that shall live will never die. By the mouth of gods and demagogues, God spoke unto your fathers long ago. But now he speaks to you through perfect man." By contrast, the Christ of the gospel said, "Before Abraham was, I am," and they all fell backwards. By contrast, the Christ of the gospel said, "I and the Father are one." By contrast, the Christ of the gospel, it is written of God, who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Quite a different Christ, isn't it? Levi in the Aquarian Gospel says this, "And then the woman knelt to worship Jesus as God with us, Emmanuel. But one, a master clothed in white, appeared and said, 'Good woman, stay, take heed to what you do. You may not worship man, this is idolatry.'" In contrast to the Christ of the Gospel, the wise men came down and bowed before him. People worshiped him. Even the baby Jesus, they said, "Don't worship a man. That's idolatry." The woman rose and bowed her head in thankfulness and worshiped God. She didn't worship Jesus. Benjamin Krem says this, "This new Christ has many names. You can call him what you want. He's known in the East by other names as Lord Maitreya to the Buddhist, as Bodhisattva to the Hindus, as Imam Mahdi to the Muslim, Messiah to the Jews, and he's known as head of the hierarchy in the occult movement." Just different names for one and the same person. This Christ of the New Age movement is the same Christ of the occult movement, the pyramid with the eye in it, the symbol of the occult. This is the Christ of the New Age movement. Esoterist, which is their word for occultist, says Benjamin Krem, "Know them all as one being, the world teacher. For his imminent return now as we enter the Aquarian Age." We've been living in the Piscean Age and we're now moving into the Age of Aquarius. The song, The Age of Aquarius, heralding the New Age movement. "In every age, teachers have come forth from this spiritual center to enable mankind to take its next evolutionary step. We've evolved so far, and we have to go a little farther, and we need some help. So the Christ, Lord Maitreya, is going to return and help us. We know them, among others, these gods who have helped us at different points: Hercules, Hermes, Rama, Mithra, Krishna, Buddha, and Christ. They've all helped us along the way. All perfect men in their time. All sons of men who became sons of God for having revealed their innate deity. Once they recognized they were God, and lived that way and revealed it to all, they became sons of God. The body of Jesus, who was a literal first century person, born of Mary, the body was that of Jesus. But from the baptism of Jesus onward, sometimes Jesus himself was in it, sometimes Jesus and the Christ used it simultaneously. Jesus was possessed. That is, the real Jesus of Nazareth is not the Christ. The Christ sometimes possessed him, and they were both living in the same body. While at still other times, the Christ alone manifested himself through it. The consciousness of Jesus became the observer of all that took place. Christ is not the Christ of the Bible. He is the Christ of the occult. He is a living, active, working, present being in the world. He has manifested himself, he has perfected himself, and he has achieved divinity. Those words from Genesis 3 kind of hiss down a corridor of time, don't they? Ye shall be as gods. In Levi's Aquarian Gospel, he tells about his doctrine of the Trinity. It's a very interesting doctrine of the Trinity. Come to think of it, if I were inventing a doctrine of the Trinity, it wouldn't be a bad invention. And of course, you'll see its source is very human, or perhaps even superhuman. Here's what he says. The word of Christ per se does not refer to any particular person. Every anointed person is Christed. You and I are little Christ. When the definite article, the, is placed before the word, Christ, a definite personality is indicated, and this personality is none other than a member of the Trinity. And you're reading it, and you say, oh, they believe in the Trinity. The Son, who had a glory with the Father, Mother. Trinity is a little different. There is God the Father, God the Mother, who got together and had God the Son. Jesus is the Son, born of the intercourse between God the Father and God the Mother. That, I need not tell you, is not the Trinity of the Bible. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This whole New Age movement has great difficulty with not only meat, but blood, which has to be sacrificed when you have meat, and blood sacrifice. So when Levi wrote the Aquarian Gospel, when he came to the section about Jesus in the temple, here's what he says. Rabboni, I would like to talk with you. I am disturbed about this service of the Paschal feast, because you take a lamb and you slay the lamb. And Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He said, I'm disturbed about this. I thought the temple was a house of God where love and kindness dwell, and yet we're killing. Do you not hear the bleating of those lambs, the pleating of those doves that men are killing over there? Do you not smell that awful stench that comes from burning flesh? Can man be kind and just and still be filled with cruelty? A God that takes delight in sacrificing blood and burning flesh is not my Father God. I want to find a God of love. And you, my Master, you are wise, and surely you can tell me where to find the God of love. Jesus is opposed to the Passover lamb. He is opposed to blood sacrifice. He is opposed to atonement. I believe that at the heart of their distaste for meat is really their distaste for blood, and at the heart of their distaste for blood is their distaste for blood atonement, which, my friend, whether you like it or not, is the only way you can be saved. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, Hebrews 9:22. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. He has loosed us from our sins in his own precious blood. There it is. It's in the scriptures. But it's not in the Aquarian Gospel. Who was Jesus? He was someone possessed by occult powers. Benjamin Krem said, the five major initiations which take one to liberation have their symbolic enactment in the life of Jesus. He was and still is a disciple of the Christ and made the great sacrifice. Now here's the sacrifice that he made. Not a blood sacrifice. The great sacrifice of giving up his body for the use by the Christ. That Jesus' sacrifice was allowing this other spirit, the Christ, to come in him and live in him. Great sacrifice that he gave for all of us. Who came in? The Christ Maitreya took over and worked through the body of Jesus from the baptism onward. Who is Lord Maitreya? He is the Buddhist guru. A friend of mine who spent all of her life in India, most of her life up to the present, just recently gave me a copy of a rare document called the Guru Gita. And I have a copy of it in my hand here, and I'd like you to get a flavor of who a guru is, who a Hindu Christ is. Here's what it said. O Lord, by which path can an embodied being become one with the Absolute? I am revealing the inscrutable mystery of all three worlds. Listen, the Absolute is not different from the Guru, O beautiful one. This is the truth. This is the truth. The Absolute Brahma, God, is not different from the Guru. The Guru is God. The Guru is not different from the Self, capital S, from consciousness, capital C. This is beyond doubt the truth, the absolute truth. Through service, here's how you do it now, in case you want to know how to get to God and the Guru. The service at the feet of the Guru, the embodied soul becomes purified and all its sins are washed away. It becomes one with the Supreme. You worship the feet of the Guru. You don't just sit at the feet of the Guru, you worship. It uproots, nascent, puts an end to rebirth. It's cause karma. One should sip the holy water of the Guru's feet for enlightenment and dispassion. Drink the water from the Guru's feet. The place where the Guru resides is Kashi. The holy water of his feet is the Ganges. If you saw the film, The Gods of the New Age, they throw dead bodies in the Ganges. They urinate in the Ganges. Their sewer goes in the Ganges. And you drink the water of the Ganges and you can wash your sins away. That's the gods of the New Age. They won't eat the meat of the cow, but they will eat the dung of the cow. That's New Age religion. And he goes on, the Guru is the Lord of the universe himself. He is indeed Brahman, the Savior. Meditate ceaselessly on the form of the Guru. Always repeat his name. Carry out his orders. Think not of anything else but the Guru. The first syllable, Gu, means darkness. The second, Ru, means light. The Guru is doubtlessly Brahma who dispels all darkness. Continually serve the Guru with mind, speech, and action. Prostrate fully like a stick in front of him without the least reserve. Consecrate everything to the true Guru, the body, the senses, the prana. Concentrate everything to the Guru. Consecrate everything to the Guru, the soul, the wife, everything. Mahatma Gandhi was portrayed as a great hero to the world in the propaganda film that most of the world saw. Mahatma Gandhi wouldn't live with his own wife sexually, but he did with other girls. Mahatma Gandhi was supposed to be a man of peace, but he killed blacks in South Africa as a man of bloodshed. Mahatma Gandhi was a sexual pervert, and yet the film portrays him as some great man to the world, and Christianity Today had a front page cover saying what Christians can learn from Gandhi. Well, we are being brainwashed by Eastern gurus and religion. If you want to drink the water of the Ganges, and if you want to kiss the guru's feet, and if you think that's Christ, help yourself, my friend. Benjamin Krem, the John the Baptist of this New Age Christ, said, or rather Levi in the Aquarian Gospel, that Jesus was not only opposed to the Passover lamb, but he was opposed to killing, and he believed in reincarnation. As a matter of fact, Jesus did just the opposite. In John chapter 9, the disciples ask, who has sinned that this man should be born blind? See, what reincarnation believes is that you sin in one life and you pay for it in the next life. That's why there's very little compassion in Hindu religion. Why should you be compassionate for someone? He's being punished. You can't help him out, because that's punishment from the previous life. The law of karma says whatever you sow in this life, you reap in the next life. And that's what they're trying to get out of. And we're getting into it. You know how many Americans believe in reincarnation? 25% of Americans. 50% of Europeans. God is dead, said Nietzsche in 1900 in Europe. And God is dying in the United States, the God of the Bible. And the God of pantheism, the God of the New Age, is taking over in our world. All men are Christ. The word Christ per se doesn't refer just to the Christ. We are all Christ. Christ is divine in the same sense that we are, he says in the Aquarian Gospel. Jesus was simply adopted by another spirit who came on him when he was baptized and who stayed with him and spoke through him and possessed him and gave him the ability to perform, not miracles, but occult magical acts. One of the things that's been a surprise to me in studying this New Age movement is they do not believe in miracles. They do not believe in miracles in a supernatural sense of the Bible. They believe in magic that you can do and I can do and anyone can do through tapping into the force, because it's a natural power, just happens to be a mystical. It's supernormal, but it's not supernatural. Christ was simply a supernormal being, and you and I can learn to do the same things that Christ has learned to do. Well, there are many names for Christ. There are many things that can be said about the Christ, but let me summarize these by sharing with you some things that might come to you as a surprise about who this Christ is. When he resurrected from the dead, Jesus did not resurrect in a physical body. He resurrected in a spiritual body that they call the flesh of God. Corian Gospel, I came to earth to demonstrate the resurrection of the dead, the transmutation of the flesh of carnal man to the flesh of a divine man. God has flesh. I was talking just this past week to a young lady who appeared in the Mormon film, The Godmakers, and she's doing research on the connection between Mormonism and the gods of the New Age, and she said there is a direct relationship between them. Mormons believe that God the Father has a body, a physical body, just as you and I have. And God the Son has a physical body, the Holy Spirit does not. Their Trinity is not the Trinity of the Bible either. It's three different gods, and God the Father has a body. And this flesh, this physical flesh, is going to be transmuted into spiritual flesh. There is no physical resurrection. Some time ago, I had a debate at the University of Texas with an Eastern professor who had gone to Yale University, had a PhD in New Testament. And we were debating whether Christ rose from the dead. His argument was this: Jesus did not rise from the dead because, number one, miracles don't happen in a scientific age. But nevertheless, a few miracles did occur. I never did get that one together. But, number three, the resurrection wasn't one of them. So we ask him these questions. If Jesus didn't rise, then how come the tomb was empty? Nobody ever found the body. His answer: God annihilated the body. Now, I thought about that for a few seconds and said, isn't that satanic? He's got a miracle to deny a miracle. The miracle of the annihilation of the body in order to deny the miracle of the resurrection of the body. Then somebody said to him, well, how come they put their finger in Jesus' hand and their hand in his side? He ate fish. He had a physical body. He said, I have flesh and bones. And his answer was, he was just a spirit, but he had the miraculous ability to make it appear as though he had a body. So he got two miracles in order to overcome them. It'd be a whole lot easier just to believe the Bible, which says that he rose from the dead. No, Jesus was just a magician, and he advanced in the highest stage of magic, where he learned how to conquer death by transforming himself into a spiritual body. Jesus solved the occult problem of the ages, the Aquarian Gospel says. And he appeared to his occult masters, and Jesus said, my brothers of the silent brotherhood, peace on earth, goodwill to men, the problem of the ages has been solved. A son of man has risen from the dead, has shown that human flesh can be transmuted into divine flesh. Who is the Christ of the New Age? A man by the name of David Spangler, one of the heralds of the New Age movement, wrote a book on Reflections on the Christ. Here's what he says, and listen very carefully. I'm not reading from Constance Cumby or David Hunt or any Christian. I'm reading from one of the main leaders of the New Age who gets continual revelations, who was at Finhorn, their show place in Scotland, who was one of their name writers. Quote, David Spangler, Christ is the same force as Lucifer. Pretty honest, isn't it? You know what the name of their publishing company was they started in 1922? Lucifer Publishing Company, which they changed later to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S. Apparently, Lucifer was a little too bold. They went to a euphemism. Anyone who studied the Bible knows who Lucifer, the son of the morning. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, who said, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt myself above the throne of God. And David Spangler got a revelation from this New Age God. And you know what the God said? Am I God? Am I Christ? Listen to this answer. I am all of these and more. The New Age God said, I am more than God. I am more than Christ. Let me read these lines again from David Spangler. Christ is the same force as Lucifer, but moving in seemingly the opposite direction. Lucifer moves to create the light within through the pressure of experience. Christ moves out to release the light. Christ and Lucifer are brothers working hand in hand. One to create and one to release the light. They're just two sides of the same force. The same one your children saw in Star Wars, in E.T., in Poltergeist, in The Raiders of the Lost Ark, in Indiana Jones, in The Return of the Jedi, and in The Empire Strikes Out. Empire Strikes Back, whatever. The same force. And Christians are so naive that Robert Short will write a book, The Gospel from Outer Space, in which he says, and he's the one who wrote the book, The Gospel According to Peanuts, in which he says, the Gospel according to Lucas, George Lucas, Star Wars, and the Gospel according to Luke, the Bible, are one and the same. What is it? In the end, everybody's going to be saved, even Darth Vader and the devil. That's what Robert Short says in the Gospel from Outer Space. Who is the Christ of the New Age? Christ is the same force as Lucifer. Let me read another quote from David Spangler. This one knocked me right off the chair. I had a call, my friends. I was between sorrow and laughter. I didn't know whether to laugh or to cry when I heard it. But he's explaining who Lucifer is, and he says it's kind of like Halloween. We have a little custom here in Halloween called trick-or-treat. And Lucifer plays trick-or-treat on people. Quote, Reflections on the Christ, page 41. Lucifer, like Christ, stands at the door of man's consciousness and knocks. If man says, go away because I do not like what you represent, I'm afraid of you, Lucifer will play tricks on that fellow. If a man says, come in, I will give you the treat of my love and understanding. I will uplift you in the light of my presence, of the Christ, my outflow. Then Lucifer becomes something else again. He becomes the being who carries that great treat, the ultimate treat, the light of wisdom. There he is, friends. Christ of the New Age, standing at your heart's door and knocking, saying, friends, I'm Lucifer. I came to play trick or treat. Should we cry or should we laugh? The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ, prophesied in the Old Testament, born of the Virgin Mary, very God of very gods, man of mans, who died a substitutionary death for our sins on the cross, who rose bodily from the grave, the same Jesus which is taken away will so come in like manner as you've seen him go, says that Christ stands at the door of the church and knocks. If any man opens, he enters. It's a shame that the real Christ is locked out of the church today, isn't it? It's a shame, but when you reject the Christ, you're open to the Antichrist. When you reject the true, you're victim to the false. Remember, the real difference, what really counts in determining the fraudulent from the authentic, it's not the similarities, it's the differences. There are a lot of similarities to the New Age Christ. He brings peace and light and goodness, and it's religion and it's prayer and it's meditation. And Christians get sucked in because of the good and deceived to the evil that's in it. The real Christ really presents himself to everyone through the proclamation of his word. And as a minister of his, it's my obligation this morning, not only to warn you about antichrists that are coming, but to tell you about the Christ who is coming. Let me conclude by reading this from God's word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Who is he? Verse 4, 2 Thessalonians 2. He is the one who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. That was written 2,000 years ago. Turn over to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. And listen to these prophetic words. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast in his presence. He makes the earth and those who dwell in it worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. Verse 16. He caused all the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or sell except the one who had the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here in his wisdom, let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man. His number is 666. You know what one of the symbols of the New Age movement is? 666. Their Christ is Lucifer. A symbol is 666. How much more need we say? See, those are pessimistic words. Well, let me cheer you up. Hebrews chapter 2. Satan was defeated, and he who had power of death, it was robbed from him. And you and I can say, O grave, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Colossians chapter 2, he despoiled principalities and powers, openly displayed them. Ephesians chapter 4, he led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. Satan, Lucifer, the demons are defeated foes. Their time is short, and they are shooting their last ammunition in these last days. Christ is returning to this world. We won't bring in the millennium, but he will. There'll be no peace till the Prince of Peace comes, but Christ is returning. In reading this material, I came across this phrase in one of the New Age books. It said this: the Jesus who will return is not the same as the Jesus who left. Well, let me read you the words of Scripture. Acts chapter 1. This same Jesus who is taken away from you will so come in like manner as you have seen him go. How will you recognize the Christ when he comes? He'll have scars in his hands. He'll have scars in his feet. He will be the one who was prophesied in the Old Testament, born of the Virgin Mary, died for your sins, rose bodily from the dead. He will sit on a throne in Jerusalem. He will have his 12 apostles sitting on 12 thrones, and the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the bottom of the sea, and men will beat their plowshares in their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. It will be a day of peace and prosperity, not brought by the Antichrist, but by the Christ. I hope you're prepared for him. Some time ago, I visited an English lady in the hospital. She was a quaint, unbelieving, witty English lady. She lived down the street from us, and she had been hit by a train. She was wrapped in bandages. Oh, you could see her eye here and a finger here, but she was literally one big bandage. I looked at her and tried to say a word of cheer, and in her English humor, she said, "Well, I guess God wasn't ready for me yet. And I said, there's my cue. He said, Mrs. Stevenson, maybe it's because you weren't ready for him yet. The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you've given us a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation. We're not looking for Antichrist, we're looking for Christ. We're not looking for evil, but for good, and not for the son of darkness, but for the one who said, I am the light of the world. And I pray this morning that each one here who knows you will be encouraged and warned, and each who does not will turn in this very moment and say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay. Forgive my sins and make me a child of yours. And now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.